Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Brother Connor. If I didn't get around to shake your hand, I apologize for that. I'll get around there after church if you'll stick around. Sure do appreciate everybody coming out, being with us today. Even though the second team's in today, we trust that God can make the second team first team. So we do pray for Brother James while he's gone, and hope the Lord blessed him where he's at, and we really pray and appreciate the prayer that's gone before that God blesses us today. I hope that he blesses what I have to present before you today. It's funny when you study where different things lead you. You start out in one verse and it'll lead you somewhere where you didn't even think. And I have not found a good, consistent method for my study. Sometimes I have a thought and it'll be brought on by things that happen out in the world, things I see. Sometimes I just open up my Bible and play Russian roulette and just flip through the pages, and wherever I land, I start reading. That's kind of what happened to me this week. If you will, this morning, we're going to start in the Old Testament. In the book of Lamentations, chapter 1, verse 1. If you know anything about the book of Lamentations, it was written by the prophet Jeremiah. And it's aptly named Lamentations because Jeremiah, as he writes, is lamenting. He's mournful of some things. All the things that he's prophesied and told the children of Israel about back in Jeremiah has come to pass. The destruction of Jerusalem, the Babylonian captivity. In chapter 1 it says, "How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How was she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations and princess among the provinces. How has she become tributary?" Tributary means forced labor, servitude, in bondage. "She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction and because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. The ways of Zion do mourn, because none come to the solemn feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Her adversaries are the chief, her enemies prosper. For the Lord hath afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children are gone into captivity before the enemy." Now, Jeremiah had prophesied that these things were going to happen. This fall, this Babylonian captivity was coming if Israel did not change its ways. And all these things that you read that, and just how beautiful that is. And talks about how sorrowful, how mournful, how terrible, but how beautiful those words are. But all these things have come about. It talks about, you know, Israel and this nation as a woman. But it says because of what? Because of the multitude of her transgressions. Multitude of transgressions. Because they have not done what God, because they've been disobedient to God, this has befallen them. Because they didn't turn back and turn away from their evil ways and didn't follow God and didn't hearken His voice, they've fallen into captivity. For the multitude of transgressions. Disobedience and obedience, this multitude of transgressions is what I want to focus on this morning. You think about a multitude of transgressions. Why was there a multitude of transgressions? Well, a multitude of individuals were committing a multitude of transgressions. I want you to understand this just wasn't one person. This was the whole nation of Israel. From the top down. You go back and read about some of these kings they had that didn't follow God's word, or Ahab, what they've allowed to happen in God's house. It's a terrible thing. God took note of it. God's long-suffering. He sent his prophets, Elijah, Jeremiah. He sent them all and told them about what was about to follow. But they would not hearken unto his voice. And Jeremiah is lamenting all those things in Lamentations. And I encourage you to read the book of Lamentations. But the focus here is that multitude of transgressions. Now, when I read my commentary, a few of my commentaries, it explains it like this. Now, I've explained to you that these multitude of transgressions is conspired by a multitude of individuals. In my commentary, in my study this week, it refers to it like this. What the individual does, the nation becomes. What the individual does, the nation becomes. That struck me. What the individuals do, what we do, what the individual does, the nation becomes. Whether we're disobedient or obedient, that's what our nation becomes. What we do in the church, whether disobedient or obedient, that's what our church becomes. In our family, if we don't hearken unto the voice of God, if we're disobedient or obedient, if we're not doing those things that God has laid on our hearts to do and commanded us to do, that's what our families become. But it starts with what? The individual. What the individual does. What we do, whether we're disobedient or obedient, I want you to understand that matters. That matters. You as an individual, the very hairs on your head are numbered. God knows who you are. But what you do and what you do matters. It matters. You know, when we talk about this nation of Israel, it's a multitude of transgressions. But, you know, it had to start somewhere. You know, one bad apple ruins the whole bunch is what they say. So if we extrapolate that back, we can say that the individual, it had to start somewhere. One individual starts being disobedient. Then you know what? The rest of us, we either become indifferent to that individual or we say, oh, nobody else is going to follow that. But then what happens? Another person starts doing what that individual does. And so on and so forth until what we were supposed to be doing is the majority is in the minority and what's being done disobedience in the majority. But it all starts with an individual. What the individuals do, the nation becomes. I want you to understand this morning, being disobedient and obedient to God, one to the positive or negative, matters. It matters in the world and how you affect the world around you. And as I started thinking about these things, there's no greater evidence of what an individual, disobedient or obedient, can do, what that individual disobedient and obedience means. And this verse popped in my head as I was reading this, was in Romans chapter 5. And we'll turn there and read this verse very quickly. You find in Romans chapter 5, in verse 19, this is how significant an individual disobedience or obedience is. In verse 19, what does it say? For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. The actions, what we say, what we do, matter. Your obedience or disobedience matter. Because of one man, because of one individual, I want you to understand all of mankind fell. Because of Adam's transgressing, all because of him, all mankind fell. But even so, by the disobedience one, even greater, to the positive, by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, that we can rejoice in this morning, many shall be made righteous. Child of God, your obedience or disobedience matters. It affects the world around you. You know, it's not the first time that an individual has affected the world around him. God has been calling individuals to do his purpose and his will since the beginning. Let's examine that a little bit this morning. If you will, turn with me to Judges. Judges chapter 13, we're going to read about one such individual. You know, as a child, this is one of my favorite stories. You know, Daddy always said that the Bible's like ragu spaghetti sauce. It's in there. Anything you want to read, love, romance, all the true stories. War, battle, adventure, it's in the Bible. It captivates. It's a good read. We need to be reading it. In chapter 13, we read that in another point, children of Israel have messed up again, transgressed God's law. Verse 1, it says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren, and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine or strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." The son was Samson. Individual chosen of God, a Nazarite. When you talk about a Nazarite, it refers to an untrimmed branch. Samson's hair was to not be cut. This is one commandment that God has given. Samson's hair couldn't be cut. Now, we're not going to read the whole verse and the whole story of Samson. Like I said, it's in here. Samson, to me, when I was little, I always loved that story because Samson was a superhero to me. The stories and the deeds that he did with God as his strength. But it wasn't a story. Don't you know it was true? Samson lived. God blessed him. So the real man chosen of God. You go back and read the accomplishments when Samson was doing what God told him to do. And Samson wasn't perfect. You go back and read about Samson. If there was ever one that coined the phrase, "Women are going to kill me," it was Samson. I believe that. Samson had an issue. He loved women. Women was almost the death of him. That's not nothing against you women. That has more to do with Samson. That's not a woman's fault. That's Samson's fault. But this man, Samson, as long as he did those things that God said, you go back and read the accomplishment, what Samson did. Killed a lion with his bare hands. Killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. That's a donkey. He caught 300 foxes at one point, tied their tails together, put a branch of fire between it, turned it loose, and they burnt the fields of the Philistines. You know how hard it is to catch one fox, much less 300, and then tie them together? Amazing. Amazing what Samson was able to accomplish when he did what God, when he was obedient to God. But what happened to old Samson? Let's turn to verse 16. In verse 16 and verse 16, "And it came to pass..." Now, he fell in love with this woman named Delilah. Verse 16, it says, "And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him that so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any man." Now, Delilah was trying on behalf of the Philistines to find out this weakness of Samson, because Samson was destroying the Philistines. I tell you what, he was an enemy to these Philistines. They were trying to figure out how to destroy Samson. You go back and read the verses before that, Samson continues to put her off. He tells her, "Oh, well, this, if you do this, my strength will be gone." And then as soon as she would do that, she would call the Philistines in to get him. Samson would break loose from his bond and destroy those Philistines. And Delilah kept on and on after him till she found out what his strength was. "How can we stop you from being strong, Samson?" Now, you would say here that it's not Samson's fault that he got his hair cut. He told Delilah, Delilah had his hair cut. But Samson should have known, based on the three verses before that, that what Delilah was trying to do. Because she vexed him because he loved Delilah. She told him what his strength was. And by telling her what his strength was, they were able to cut his hair. What happens when they cut his hair? The one commandment that they told Samson not to do. One commandment. One commandment. Oh, Adam had one commandment. Samson had one commandment. Couldn't hold it. Couldn't do it. What happened to him? And when Delilah, in verse 18, it says, when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. When we don't do, when we're not obedient to God, it brings death. It brings sorrow. It brings tribulation. When the child of God isn't being obedient to God, I want you to know you're in for shipwreck. You're in for hurt. That's what disobedience brings. But as long as we're obedient, as long as we're obedient, we remember, we do those things, God, and we remember where our strength comes from. I tell you what, we might not be rich, we might not be all these things that the world would have us do, but I tell you what, you'll have joy. You'll have life, as only the child of God can have. Your obedience and disobedience matters. It matters. But then what happens to Samson? In verse 22. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice, for they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. Oh, they mocked him. They thought they were something. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God hath delivered it into our hands, our enemy, and destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. You understand, when we're disobedient to God, we put something on our God. When we're disobedient to God, the world dishonors him. We need to be obedient as God's children. In verse 25, and it came to pass when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson that he may make us sport. And, oh, we're going to mock him. Tell you what, when you're going to be obedient to God, sometimes you're going to get laughed at. Sometimes you're going to get scorned. The world ain't going to accept you. It's all right. I'd rather be acceptable to God any day than acceptable to this world. And it came to pass when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house. And he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord. Samson called. Samson remembered. Do you believe this morning that Samson's strength came from his hair? O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. Samson wasn't dependent on his hair. He repented. I want you to know his strength didn't come from his hair. His strength came from being obedient to God. As long as he did what God told him to do, he was strong. As long as you do what God tells you, I want you to know your strength will stay with you. This world will try to weaken you, but God makes you strong. That's the source of our strength. That's the source of Samson's strength. But he says, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines of my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other of his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. I want you to understand too this. Occasionally in our life, we're going to be disobedient. But I want you to know it's never too late. It's never too late to come back. It's never too late to walk through them doors. It's never too late to seek the counsel of God. It's never too late to come back and be obedient to God and repent. I want you to know, and sometimes, brother, the way we come back, and sister, sometimes the way we come back from that disobedience and we start walking again with God, I want you to know God's able to do greater things then than He was if we would have been obedient the whole time. Sometimes in our disobedience, when we come back to obedience, we're a better example. We've learned a few things. We can be a better example to God's children. And He's greater to do greater things. This book tells me that there's rejoicing over one repentant sinner than 99 just persons. I want you to know you don't let old devil tell you that it's too late, that those people over at that church don't care about you no more. You've done too wrong. You've never done too wrong. Turn around. And I encourage you, encourage those around you. See your loved ones doing wrong. I want you to encourage them and say, brother, you're doing wrong. But it's not too late. It's never too late. Jesus and God is on His throne. He's done all things for us. He saved us from our sins. But you're being robbed of the joy in this life when you don't do what God tells you to do. When we don't do the things that He tells us to do. We lose our strength just as Samson has. But Samson remembered. And Samson prayed to God. Said, Lord, return me my strength. It's never too late to turn back from those disobedient things we do. For what purpose? I'm not telling you this morning that it's your purpose to save your soul from death, hell, and the grave. No, Jesus did that. But it's possible. It's possible to save yourself from destruction in this life, from making shipwreck, from all the sorrow and all the sadness that being disobedient to God brings, from having your eyes put out. You get out of this old world, it puts your eyes out, you forget to see. You forget to be able to see where your strength comes from. Yes, sir, your obedience and your disobedience as a child of God, it matters. It matters to you and it matters to those around you. But not only in deed, not only in our actions. You know, Samson did a lot of wonderful things. But also in our words and our counsel. What we say and do matter. What we say matters. Let's look at another place. If you'll turn with me to Numbers. Chapter 13 and verse 25. And we'll find here that Moses and the children of Israel have come out of Egypt's land and they've been in the wilderness. Comes a time that God commands Moses to appoint 12 men to go and search out that land. And they did. 12 men from every tribe. And two particular, Joshua and Caleb. And in verse 25, we see that they've returned from that search. Verse 25, it says, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron, and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, into the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us. And surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and all those ites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. These other few, they had riled up the crowd. What does Caleb say? And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. You know, Caleb knew who his God was. God told him they could possess it, and he believed God. But we had these other fellas, these other 10, that didn't. Verse 31 says, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. They were looking at the world. They were looking at the world's strength, and they forgot to look who their strength was. For they are stronger than we, And they brought up an evil report. I tell you what we say and what we do matter. When we're not being truthful and telling the truth on God, it matters. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Oh, looking at the world and forgetting where your strength comes from. They were being disobedient to what God told them. God told them it was their land and He would bless them and for them to possess. That's what God told them. Caleb and Joshua believed God. But these ten other ones didn't. You know, isn't that funny? Sometimes I want you to know something. Just because opinion is popular with the majority doesn't necessarily make it true. Does that sound familiar? This land we live in today, as good as it is and continues to be, you know, we got a lot of voices out there saying a lot of things that are saying true. But I want you to know they're not true according to God. And I would rather be in the minority with God than the majority with the world. I tell you that this morning. I would rather be right with God. I would rather be acceptable. The things that I do and say, I would rather be acceptable with God than acceptable with man. What we say, what we do, our disobedience, our obedience matters. It matters. It matters to those around us. Now, what else did Joshua and Caleb do as these men were given the report? In verse 6, in chapter 14 and verse 6, and it says, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, they rent their clothes. When these men start to give this evil report, they rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it, it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against, don't be disobedient. Rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Yes, sir, they are bread for us, easily to consume if God be for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. The Lord was with them. Why were they scared of them Holdites? God told them to possess it. The Lord is with us. Fear them not. Don't fear this old world. Fear God. But all the congregation bade stone with the stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me, for all the signs which I have showed them. The Lord just brought them out of Egypt, part of the Red Sea. Destroyed the whole army of Egypt. Defeated Pharaoh. How quickly we forget sometimes the God we serve. But you get out in this old world and you get disobedient, it'll take your eyes. It'll talk your eyes out where you can't see Him. Well, you can't see your strength. I want you to know where your strength comes from this morning is from Him. Let's see. And in verse 23 and 24, what happened to these ten? These disobedient children of God. What happened? This is what it says about those ten. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it, but my servant Caleb. Because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now you go back and read. These ten, it says, not one of them will see this promised land because they were disobedient to God, because they spoke evil. They spoke evil. They gave an evil report. They didn't believe God. So they won't go into the land. And the whole nation of Israel dwelt in the wilderness another 40 years. See, our disobedience matters too. We can lead those astray that are following in our footsteps. And they'll end up walking in the wilderness for 40 years. Child of God, the way you walk, your obedience, even your disobedience, it matters greatly. It matters greatly. You say, Brother Joe, what's good of being obedient if Caleb had to walk around in the wilderness another 40 years and he didn't do wrong? You know, I never liked the good having to suffer for the bad. Don't you worry about old Caleb. What did old Caleb have to say about it? Let's turn to Joshua real quick. In Joshua chapter 14 and verse 6. You know, I named my son Caleb. I named my son Caleb because I hope it's always one of my favorite stories. I love Caleb. I want him to know that trusting in God is his strength. That when the world tells you no, but God tells you yes, you follow God. That's why I named my son Caleb. Then the children of Judah came unto, and this is verse 6, chapter 14 of Joshua. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee, and Kadesh Barnea. And this is Caleb talking to Joshua. God promised Joshua and Caleb that they would see the land, that they would live. In verse 7 it says, 40 years old was I. Caleb was 40 when he went and spied out the land. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren, that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yeah, those other brethren that were with me, they led the people astray and made their heart melt. They made them sorrowful. They led them astray. But I wholly follow the Lord my God. No matter what's going on in this world, I want you to know you follow God. Wholly. It says Caleb followed him wholly. But wholly, that means not missing anything. He followed him wholly. Followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Caleb's obedience had a reward with it. Following God has a great reward with it. When we follow God, I want you to know we don't miss out on the blessings He has for us in this life. He had some blessings for Caleb, and he promised them to him. When God promises something, he delivers. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 40 and 5 years. So he was 40 and 5 years. Caleb's 85. Don't give me no excuse about you too old. You're not too old to make a difference. Not too young to make a difference. You're never too old to make a difference. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. 85. As yet I am strong this day, as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. My strength is just as now as it was then. To do whatever is necessary to possess that God has promised me, I'm able to do it. Because my strength is the same now as it was then. You think his strength, he was talking about his natural strength. You know, I know just from being almost 40 that I'm not near as strong as I was when I was 18, 19, 20. And I imagine when I'm 85, I'm not going to feel as strong as I am now. I don't think Caleb is talking about his natural strength. But what was his strength then? What was his promises then? What was his promises now? What's his strength now? What doesn't change in our life? God doesn't change. Where our strength comes from doesn't change, whether you won or 103. Our strength comes from God. Now therefore, give me this mountain. Whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. As who said? As the Lord said. We're obedient to God when we do the things that He told us to do. I want you to know there's blessings. There's reward in that. There's an inheritance in that. We're enjoying right now the inheritance that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ left for us on this earth. Enjoying it right now. But you only get it if you walk through those doors. You only get it if the Lord's with us. The only way you get anything out of what I'm saying this morning is that the Lord blesses. Any strength that we have is because of the Lord. We're obedient to Him. We renew our strength. We build up on the wings of eagles, as Isaiah says. That's where our strength comes from. Our strength lies in our obedience to God. And that comes from God. Now, I say all that to say this. Why is it important for you as a child of God to understand that your disobedience or your obedience matters to you, to those around you, to this world? The way you affect the world, it matters. What is one of the oldest lies of old Satan? One of the oldest lies and most damaging lies to the child of God, in my opinion, is that you don't matter. What you do doesn't matter. Whether you're obedient or disobedient doesn't matter. And if he can convince the child of God of that, two things happen. Either one, when we're being disobedient, if we believe our disobedience doesn't matter, then we just keep on doing the same old disobedient things that we've always done. And if we believe our obedience doesn't matter, then we sit on that old couch and do nothing. We affect nothing. Either way, the devil wins. But I want God's children to know that your obedience and disobedience matters this morning to God. Not to heaven and immortal glory, but while you live. While you live, what we say and what we do matters. You matter. You're not just alone on this world. You are not your own. You are bought and paid with the precious blood of the only begotten Son of Jesus Christ. Child of God, remember. Remember who you are. Remember. Don't forget. Don't have your eyes put out by this old world. Remember where your strength comes from. Don't you know? Don't you know how precious? Don't you know how precious you are in the eyes of God? If you don't know, I'm going to let Him tell you. If you will, turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. And Brother James preached from this last weekend. Chapter 10, verse 29. Let's go to verse 28. And it repeats what we've been saying. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Don't fear this old world. Fear God. Verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? Two sparrows. A farthing ain't much. And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. Two of those don't fall to the ground without our Father knowing. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value. More value than many sparrows. You're precious. You're precious to Him. Your very hairs on your head are numbered. I want you to know your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When He went to the cross of Calvary, I want you to know your name was on His mind and His heart. And God laid all your sins and transgressions on Him, and He paid that debt. And He saved you. He washed you. He's given you His Spirit. He's born you of His Spirit. He's cleansed you of all those iniquities. He's forgiven your sins to be remembered no more. And what do we do in return? Be obedient. Be obedient. You know, if my kids treated me any old kind of way and didn't listen to what I said, you know, I'd have trouble believing they really love me. That's how we show our love to our God. It's not going to change our destination. Let's show Him we love Him by the way we live our lives. But being obedient to Him, let's listen to what He has to say. Fear Him. Give Him the respect He deserves as a thrice holy God. But you matter. What you do, what you say matters. I thank you for your good oral attention this morning.